Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Yesterday, I guess the race being postponed from Sunday, and Facebook social networks, we're talking everyone. We're talking Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all of it. Disappeared for hours. What did everybody do? I guess, you know, you could have watched the cup race, and that was rain shortened after being postponed by rain from Sunday. It's been a crazy weekend. Weekend started the 1st of October. Halloween is 26 days away. I had to think for a second. It's the 31st. I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my wife, Marianne. It's her birthday today. Mine is about a month from now. She's still a few years behind me. Yeah, I cradle robbed. What could I tell you? But I didn't do it by myself. Somebody hooked me up. Give a shout out to my person who got me into doing this stuff back in the old WNJC days, host of the Afternoon Rumble, Mr. Thomas Shaw. And lo and behold, when did I start this show? I started in 2001. So that would put Garage Talk Live on the air for 20 years. Actually, no, I started it before 2001. I take that back. Not much before, but before. Maybe it was 2001. I don't know. Anyway, it started out as, we called it the Pit Pass, because my co-hostess at the time wanted to name it. And, you know, I'm happy with whatever it is. And then my next batch of hostesses wanted to call it Garage Talk Live, and that name stuck. But that's neither here nor there. So, that being said, a lot of rain in the area. I think all three races this weekend at Talladega were shortened by rain. No IndyCar action. They're done for the year. And NHRA, I think, is off till this weekend. I'm taking a look at their schedule. Yeah. I know they have a big to-do out in Texas for the Fall Nationals, culminating on Sunday. So they're getting all their stuff to get. 2022 schedule, COVID attendance protocol, Dallas TV schedule. Let's see who's going to be running this weekend. Should have went to the results. It's in little blocks. It's easier to find. That's okay. We have all the big ones. Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock Motorcycle, Pro Mod, Top Alcohol Dragster, Top Alcohol Funny Car, Comp, Super Sport, Stock, Super Comp, Super Gas, and a couple of further ones down the line that I'm not sure about. And the weekend after, they come up closer to me for the Thunder Valley Nationals. So the only ones running there, they ditched Pro Stock on this one and have Pro Stock Motorcycle. But they will have Top Fuel and Funny Car. The Nitros don't get screwed. The other ones do. Then there is 7 races in the countdown for the Nitro cars and 6 for Pro Stock and Pro Stock Motorcycle. Of course, Pro Stock, like I said, is bumped from Bristol, which, at least they're in Vegas. And, of course, the finale at Pomona. But so all we had was a NASCAR weekend. Bunch of first-time winners this weekend. People that happened to buy luck. To be in the right place at the right time. Because, you know, Talladega is a restrictor plate track. They have clumps of cars in drafts, sometimes 2 and 3 wide, sometimes 4 wide. There's always a big wreck, at least one. And somebody always survives. Well, let's see how we look in here. The Truck Series race, somebody I've never heard of. He's not even considered a rookie. Led once. Or one lap. Not even in the playoffs. And that driver is Tate Fogelman. Anybody hear of him? Outside of his team, driving the truck 12. The 12 truck, which is Traeger Grills Chevrolet. And second was, and he started 20th. Second, starting 21st, right next to him, finished right behind him, was Tyler Hill. So they dodged a lot of bullets. Todd Gilliland was third. First playoff guy in the top 10, and from what I can see, the only playoff guy in the top 10 is John Hunter Nemechek. Ryan Truex was 5th. Corey Roper was 6th. Spencer Boyd the 7th. Danny Bohn, or Bohn, B-O-H-N. You can pronounce that 2 ways. Was 8th. Chase Purdy was 9th. And Keith McGee rounds out your top 10. Everybody else, Haley Deegan, Austin Wayne Self, Johnny Sauter, Carson Hocevar, Stuart Friesenthal, and a lot of the playoff guys. Jennifer Jo Cobb was involved in a wreck. A lot of people criticizing her because at one point, it looked like all the cars were stopping, and she came blowing through, miraculously not hitting anybody. And was just wound up in an accident later on. It's usually the way. Total race length, 99 laps. I think it might have been scheduled for less, but not much less, but less. Race margin of victory was 0.052 seconds. Did go overtime. Actually, yeah, it did go overtime. Just average speed, 125.5. 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 17 seconds. This was Fogelman's first career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory. There were six cautions for 29 laps. First one was stage conclusion number one. Then we had an incident between that and stage conclusion number two. And then all the wrecks pretty much happened on the final stage, which everybody tries to stay clean in the beginning of the race, and at the end of the race, all hell breaks loose. Anyway, 23 lead changes amongst 12 drivers. And your biggest lap leaders were Todd Gilliland. He led three times for 39 laps. Ben Rhodes led three times for 20 laps. John Hunter Nemechek four times for 11 laps. Brett Holmes two times for 11 laps. Everybody else single digits after that, including five guys that led one time for one lap, including our winner. The big one happened on lap 59, where there were too many vehicles to count. I will try it. We're looking 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the next one after that that had multiple vehicles was on lap 77. That was only six vehicles. So we'll say half the field got chewed up in some form or another. Okay. First victory. It's Fogelman actually made 47 starts. So it's his first victory there. First victory and second top 10 this year. And his first victory and first top 10 at Talladega. And we'll check the points. John Hunter Nemechek is leading the points. Of course, we're in the round of eight. Next batch will be chopped down to I don't know how they're working this because I'm counting. There's eight. Let's see. Well, wait. One, two, three, four. Yeah, then the next one will be four. And that'll be the final race of the season. So right now, John Hunter Nemechek leads Ben Rhodes by 1 point. But in playoff points, John Hunter has 50. Nemechek has 19. Nemechek has 50. Ben Rhodes has 19. Matt Crafton is third in points. Nobody has a win there yet. They have race wins, but they got stage wins, but they don't have playoff race lock-in wins. So Sheldon Creed is fourth. Stuart Friesen is fifth. Chandler Smith is sixth. Carson Hocevar is seventh, and then your last guy, Zane Smith. Now, the bubble shot is only a 5-point difference between making it or getting eliminated. Sheldon Creed has 30,074. And Stuart Friesen has 3,069. So that can swing either way in the next race. So we'll see what happens there. Let's hear from our winner, Tate Fogelman.
check our cords here. Hey, can you hear me? I think you are muted.
You're muted. Not a good thing.
Still got you muted there. Let me see if I can do it on my end. I can't.
There we go. Hey, can you hear me now?
Should
hear me now.
You all good, Sam?
Test.
We got you now. Okay. Well, Tate, congratulations on an action-packed race that led to victory lane. Nothing short of an exciting finish here at Talladega for your first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory. Take us through the race from your perspective, if you would.
Yeah, so I had never finished a super speedway race before, so before we had tried, like, laying back and kind of having, like, a second draft going on behind the main pack, and that obviously didn't work out in the past. So we weren't really sure what our game plan was going in. We were just going to try to stay towards the front, take the positions we were given, and just work our way forward. And then here, the biggest thing was just avoiding wrecks. So once we got through that first big wreck, and I knew we would have a shot at it, and then there, a few laps after that, we got through that other wreck, and things were kind of feeling like they were headed in the right direction. Finally had a little bit of luck on our side, which we haven't had much of this year. But so we got through those wrecks and had a good feeling. So we just started working our way forward. And there at the end, we lined up third on the inside, and I knew that was going to be my shot to win the race if I could suck up and push the guy in front of me. But my truck had damage from that first big wreck on both sides of the nose, so it wouldn't suck up to the truck in front of me the best. So I got a good push out back, and that's really what helped me get up to the trucks in front of me and gave them a push and slid across the finish line and was able to get the win.
Awesome. Well, we will go right into questions here for you, and we will kick it off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Tate, can you describe your emotions there at the end? I mean, did you realize you had won? Were you concerned at all about what NASCAR might rule? Just kind of take me through kind of the moments after you crossed the finish line.
Yeah, there was – I know the race in the past when my teammate won, the guy that crossed the finish line first didn't win. So, I mean, that's always in the back of your head. If so much is going on, you don't know if you crossed the line or what. And then to hit the inside wall like that, I had so much adrenaline going on, like, I didn't really even faze me. I was riding back in the ambulance, listening to the radio, and just, they were saying that I had won the race. And to hear that, it meant everything. I mean, growing up, this is all I've ever dreamed about, being a short track racer and having the chance to come race in the NASCAR National Series and to win in the NASCAR National Series is all I've ever hoped and dreamed about. So that, for it to come true, I mean, it's amazing.
How were you surprised that you kind of were able to have that position and Nemechek was kind of second questioning his moves there at the end?
Yeah, like the kind of the seas parted there at the end. It was just me and him. I wasn't really paying attention out back. It was all my focus was out front there at the end. And I went up, tried to get around him. He blocked. And I mean, there was just so much going on. At that point, all I was doing was trying to get around him. And we were – the help out back coming off of 3 and 4 is really what propelled me to the win there. But after that, I was just focused on getting around in any way possible.
All right. Our next question will come from Steven Toronto, Pepsi.
Tate, you mentioned being a short tracker. Your family has a long history of short tracking in the Carolinas. Your dad did it a long time. Your dad raced in NASCAR, too. Have you heard from your family yet? And to become a NASCAR winner and to have the Fogelmans be NASCAR winners, what have you given any thought to the significance of that yet?
No, I'm just trying to soak this in, and my family has put a lot into my racing career, and to finally get a NASCAR win, there's no telling. Probably have a big party when we get back home, but you talk about my dad, he's always been a short track guy, raced Swedish Pro Cup, ran a few Xfinity races, and he never misses a race. So he was there in victory lane with me. So it was really special to share that moment with him because I know how much he's put into my career and how much he's taught me over the years.
Great to hear. Congratulations, Ted.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Rob Thompson. Go ahead, Rob.
Thanks, Samantha. And hey there, Tate, congratulations on your big victory today. I got some questions for you. My first one would be, being an avid sim racer, how helpful is it to have that competition on a platform like iRacing when it comes to potential on-track moments like today at Talladega?
Yeah, just like getting behind the wheel, even if it's on computer-based monitors, anything like that, just working on the reaction times. I know I got on iRacing and practice racing, just like drafting and stuff like that. Just things that people just overthink. Just getting on the sim. I know it's not like real life, but it's the closest thing we can get to it. So any time on there is a big help. This reaction time, you can like kind of time your runs and stuff on there too, similar to what you would do on the track. So any tool you can have to your disposal to help, I try to take full advantage of, and iRacing is definitely going to help with that.
For sure. And my last question for you would be, we press can typically put the spotlight on the playoff drivers across the three major NASCAR series. So as somebody whose team typically fights for a top 20 finish, what does it mean to have this win and showcase what you as a driver can do as well as Young's Motorsport?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, we do the best of what we have, try to take advantage of everything we're offered, and we've been getting better throughout the year. We had a few unlucky breaks in the beginning of the year that cost us good finish. We finished ninth at the dirt race, finished good last race at Vegas. And for things just to line up and get that first win, it means a lot because the guys at the shop, they work just as hard, even harder than these big teams. They pour their heart and soul into it. So to get them a win, it means a lot.
Well, congratulations, Tate. Enjoy the victory.
Thank you.
There you have Tate Fogelman on his first ever NASCAR touring series. He might have ran sanctioned dirt tracks, but usually when you get into the big time at the Truck Series, Xfinity, and then Cup Series, it's a big deal. And then to win at a place like Talladega, where some of your main competitors could either get destroyed in the big one. There's always like a strategy game. So like, do you sit back or do you stay up front? I mean, just hard to wait and see there. But anyway, on to the Xfinity Series. Another first-time winner. Starting 19th in number 68 was Brandon Brown, followed by Brandon Jones, who's playoff contender, Justin Allgaier in third, Daniel Hemric in fourth, Jordan Anderson in fifth. Now, we've had Jordan on the show when he was driving for not Beaver Motorsports, but after that, they split up there. One of my friends I haven't seen in a while or talked to in a while, but anyway. Driving her truck, which was tied in with Mark Harmon, who pulled some shady crap in a while, and then Harmon tried to blame Anderson for Tracy Lowe. That's what I'm thinking of. TJL Motorsports. And, he finally has his own vehicle. He's actually driving in the Xfinity Series. He owns another car as well, and I think his driver finished rather well in that one. But Jordan Anderson was also fans of Jordan for the NASCAR twins, Ashley and Brittany Cody. They still haven't been on the show. I'd love to have them on, but they are CNAs up in Maine there, so they, their schedules are weird. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Justin Haley is sixth. Jeb Burton is seventh. Austin Cindric is eighth. Josh Berry, who won last week, again, first-time winner, is ninth. And rounding out your top ten was Joe Graff Jr. And then any a lot of your playoff drivers again. Noah Gragson saw his car get destroyed, and Harrison Burton as well. Of course, the big one. Race took 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 55 seconds. Average speed, 128. And margin of victory, there was none. It was under caution. Caution came out after the white flag, so it was allowed to end that way. Once you take the white, if the caution comes out, you do not have another shot at it. So that being said, race went 107 laps for 284 miles. There were 32 lead changes among 17 drivers. Riley Herbst led the most laps, 4 times for 26. But that being said, Brandon Brown led 8 laps, once for 8 laps, including the final lap. So he led the last 8 laps. 5 cautions for 21 laps. Stage 2, an intent, they don't even have a Stage 1 caution. They just have Stage 2 caution and a red flag for 5 minutes and 38 seconds. So only 2 stages? No, I guess Stage 1 was the first caution at lap 20, and there was a incident in that one, and then Stage 2 on lap 52, and then the rest of it was there. And another red flag on lap 90. Oh, and that one for 15 minutes and 20 seconds. And of course, after that was the cup race, which it rained, and then they had to clean it up, and then, which was Sunday, and just when you thought they were getting dry, it rained again, and they said, we'll run it Monday. Brandon Brown, first victory in 115 Xfinity races. First victory in 9th top 10 this year, and his first victory in 3rd top 10 at Talladega. So, he doesn't do too bad at Talladega, and this time he was fortunate enough to take the checkered flag. He was leading when the caution came out, and that's the case. You lock it up because you win. So, being he's not in the playoffs, somebody else got eliminated. No one had locked in after this race, so we'll have to go to the next one, which I think is the Roval at Charlotte. They call it the Roval. Originally, Darrell Waltrip, back in the day, called Pocono the Roval because it was 3 different shaped turns, 3 different widths and lengths of straightaway. So you had to basically drive it like a road course, but being it was not an oval, he called it the Roval, but it's then been deemed the Tricky Triangle, which is a better befitting name, but just a little history there from somebody who's been following this sport for quite some time. Anyway, Allgaier is second in the points. Daniel Hemric is third. A.J. Allmendinger, fourth. Fifth, Justin Haley, Brandon Jones, sixth, Noah Gragson, seventh, Harrison Burton, eighth, Jeb Burton, ninth, Myatt Snyder 10th, Riley Herbst is 11th, and Jeremy Clements is 12th. Your bubble action is 10 points apart between 8 points apart, excuse me, between the Burton cousins. Tyrison is in 8th. He's above the cutoff, and Jeb Burton is 9th. He's 8 points below the cutoff. So it's going to be interesting. It was after next week, we're down to the 8. And then we'll be down to the 4. And then one race to decide it all. So let's hear from Brandon Brown.
Hey, Brandon, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Brandon, congratulations on your first NASCAR Xfinity Series victory. It comes at none other than right here at Talladega Super Speedway. Walk us through the race and just the emotion of winning at a place like Talladega.
I mean, the emotions have just been, it's just been surreal. It's really hard to capture just one single emotion, happiness, relief, joy, excitement, just the feeling of fulfillment. Like, it's just something that Dad and I have been working on since I was 9 years old, and, you know, really building to it. And we knew that the super speedways were our best chance as a smaller team where the playing field's fairly even. So we just had to work on bringing a car as fast as that Xfinity internet. And I feel like that was the ticket to getting to victory lane. You know, Doug Randolph and the whole team, they put together such a great piece. Thank you so much to Larry's Lemonade for allowing us the opportunity. But, you know, the pit stops were just on point. This entire Brandonville Motorsports team was just phenomenal all weekend. So just so thankful, I guess, would be the biggest one.
You talked a little bit about the emotion. We'll go to a question from Courtney Horn with Skirts and Scuff. She asked, Brandon, where does the emotion come from with this victory? What does it mean to not only you, but your family?
I mean, it comes from years and years and years of just relentless hours, relentless work in the shop, missing proms, missing homecomings, missing college events, missing friends' birthdays, weddings, my cousin's wedding. You know, you're missing everything to be in the shop, to dedicate yourself 110% for it, and, you know, to finally see it come through and finally feel victory. It's just, God, it's just one of those things that you always dreamt of, and you always wondered, what would I do? What would I say? What burnout am I going to do? What am I going to do for the victory lane? Am I going to have something that sets me apart? It's just, everything culminated into one single event that was just pure bliss.
We will go to questions from the media now, and we'll start it off with Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Brandon, were you surprised NASCAR called it? And, did you think they were going to say, hey, we got to try to get to the finish?
No, not too super surprised. I mean, I thought it could go either way when I was out there. That's why I was so anxious in the car. I was like, man, they could, you know, we could go, but it is kind of dangerous because when I pulled off the two, I don't know if it was the light pollution from the safety vehicles, but it was so hard to see into turn three. And I had a smoke visor on, but I had it all the way up, and it was just going to be, you know, I don't know if I'd call it miserable, but it was going to put a lot of people on edge if we had gone back green. But, you know, thankfully, you know, I was in the right place at the right time. And, you know, when it comes down to a safety call, I mean, hats off to NASCAR. Just, you know, we've been on the other side of this every single other time, you know, whether it's been rain shortened or dark shortened or anything, power goes out. We've been a part of it on the other side, but we respect the call. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, just happy to be on this side of it this time.
There you have Brandon Brown and his first ever NASCAR win in the Xfinity Series at Talladega. All righty, next one up, another. Can we go 3 for 3 on first-timers? Let's take a look. Yeah, you all know that. Anyway, in a rain shortened, postponed, finally run, of course they have it, results for Sunday, October 3rd, when the results carried over from October 3rd to October 4th. Guess who gets the win? Led one stage two for five, one time for five laps and gets 6 points out of the deal. Well, not only do we have a first-time Cup Series winner, we also have first-time Cup Series owner as a winner, co-owner, I should say, driving the McDonald's Toyota, car number 23, one of the owner's old NBA numbers, Michael Jordan, for Team 2311, which is the number for the car of the other owner, Denny Hamlin. So Denny Hamlin is a first-time owner winner because his driver, first-year team, Bubba Wallace, took the checkered flag. It's been his first win since he's been doing this. And congratulations, Bubba, after all that went down with the... Oh, yeah, isn't this the place where they had the noose on the garage door handle? Yes, it was, Talladega. So after all that, how fitting he wins at Talladega. So Bubba Wallace does get his first win. Well, it's a little too late to be in the playoffs, but if it was... six races ago, he'd have been locked in the playoffs, though. But, hey, a win is a win. You take them when you get them, especially your first one. It's always sweet to have the win gone. Brad Keselowski was second. Joey Logano third. Kurt Busch was fourth. Christopher Bell was fifth. Chris Buescher was sixth. Denny Hamlin, who started from the pole, was seventh. Kevin Harvick was eighth. Ninth, Eric Jones. And a rookie, Anthony Alfredo, for the Georgia Peanuts Ford, in the 38 car. Rounds out your top 10. Again, a lot of playoff drivers. Actually, there really was no big one. I mean, there was some accidents, but the race was 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 2 days long. I added the 2 days part. Average speed, 130 miles an hour. And again, under victory, no margin of victory, under caution. Because when you're under caution, who was the 17? Is that... Chris Buescher won stage one. Forgot to mention that. Anyway, there were five cautions for 27 laps, a competition caution, and no first stage conclusion. We had debris in turn two from number five, red flag for 18 minutes and 20 seconds. I guess there was a slight big one on the back stretch, which was... nine vehicles involved, the 8, the 9, the 18, the 19, the 37, the 42, the 47, 48, and 78 on the back stretch. 35 lead changes amongst the 19 drivers. Your biggest lap leader was Kevin Harvick. Let's check the points run down before we get to the audio. There we go. Denny Hamlin leads the points. He's got a 19-point lead over Kyle Larson. Larson didn't have a good day yesterday. He was gathered up in that wreck. He was running, but not competitive, so cost him 19 points. Joey Logano, third. Brad Keselowski, fourth, even though they finished the other way around. Second for Brad, third for Joey in the race. Martin Truex Jr. is fifth. Ryan Blaney, sixth. Chase Elliott, seventh. Kyle Busch, eighth. Kevin Harvick, ninth. Christopher Bell, 10th. 11th, William Byron. And Alex Bowman rounds out the top 12. This is the round of 12. Nobody locked in yesterday because Bubba Wallace stole their thunder to create his own. So we'll have to take it this weekend in Charlotte. Let's go with race-winning team. We'll just let them go from here. They always have Bubba listed last, so it's Denny Hamlin, crew chief Booty Barker, and, of course, Bubba. I think Booty was might have been Michael Waltrip's crew chief back in the day. Come on. Anybody?
And out exactly how you want. And I think he's...
Yeah. All right. Hey, Denny, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Sorry.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for taking some time to join us. Let's see if we can get you situated. All right. Awesome. Well, Denny, congratulations on your first win as a team owner. You also headed into this weekend kind of in a better spot than most of the other playoff drivers with your win at Vegas. So can you just talk about your emotion right now and just how you're feeling and what the talk was like with Bubba?
I mean, emotion's obviously super high. I didn't realize, you know, it'd be this high at this moment. But, you know, I understand the process in which it takes to get to this point. And winning in NASCAR's highest level, it's just, you know, I'm in every meeting. I'm hands-on with this team. I know how hard they work. And, you know, I certainly am more emotional, more happy, you know, with someone else's victory than mine on this day.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take some questions from the media for Denny. If you have them, please raise your hand. And let's kick things off with Bob Pock. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Denny. What do you think this win means for the sport? You've been all in all these meetings with sponsors who, you know, specifically wanted Bubba. What do you think this means, and especially with it coming here at Talladega?
Well, I mean, again, there are so many dots that are crossing and you know, makes this win more special. I mean, it's just there's something about it's Talladega, it's his home state, everything that happened in Talladega last year, things that, you know, Bubba didn't ask to happen, but, you know, he had to go through it, and you know, a lot of the pushback and things that happened afterwards in the aftermath. And then we have McDonald's, who's been part, you know, a big part of our sport for many, many years, decades, and they haven't won in decades, and to have them in victory lane as one of the founding partners of 2311, it's just, you know, Toyota. I mean, they're supporting my crazy dreams. I mean, that's what's nuts about this is that, you know, there's been so many different partners that believed in my vision and my dreams that help finance this thing that, like, I just can't believe that it's all come together and you know, we got to win.
Thank you.
All right, and if you haven't seen it, we are also joined by our race-winning crew chief, Booty Barker, and it is also a historic day for him as well, getting his first victory at the Cup Series crew chief. So congratulations, and thank you for taking some time with us, the both of you. We will get into our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congratulations, guys. For Denny, obviously there'll be a lot of talk about how this race ended, but you have raced many times with Bubba, even before he joined 2311 in Super Speedway races. Could you talk a little bit about what kind of racer he has, and shouldn't really be thought of as a surprise.
Well, I mean, just look at the results, right? I mean, he's up, you know, a lot of times he got into incidents, but a lot of times he was up front when he got into them. So it's like, you know, he's just got a knack for it. And I think he just needed to refine it. And we had those discussions of how he could get better with it. And he made some big changes from Daytona 1 and Talladega 1 to Daytona 2. And I mentioned to him this week, I was like, that's the right way to do it. Like, that's how you maintain your track position up front. You know, that's how you work the lanes. I've just seen a transition with him and his willingness to take in information and apply it. And so I think this is not going to be the last time you're going to hear about his name on a super speedway. He's very, very gifted at them. He has very, very good instincts. But like, you know, early on in his career, most, you know, early 20-year-olds or mid-20-year-olds, he gets excited at times. And so how can you regulate that to not get too high, not get too low when things don't pan out exactly how you want? And I think he's working on that tremendously, and this is obviously going to go a long way with him emotionally and for his self-confidence.
Let me see if I can get Bubba here.
Races, and I just have a negative attitude, and, you know, she rips me an ass to, you know, get in shape and
oh, boy. Come on, queue up.
Peter, congratulations. So just in listening to you over the last 3 weeks over the radio, you are just this positive, uplifting kind of personality. And we heard through the broadcast and we've heard in the past that that's really something that Bubba has really relished and he's really gotten along.
Yeah, Bubba, all the things you're...
I think we got Bubba. I would have segmented this down. It would have been a lot easier. Way on, Bubba.
And get in the queue. And as soon as he joins us, we will get started.
Come on, we got 8 minutes. Come on, Bubba. We're waiting on Bubba Wallace. Why can't they just sit in a room? Wait, I hear clicking. Do we have them? I feel bad for the moderator of the press conference because it obviously it's not done in the press room due to Rona.
Man, what am I doing here?
Here. This is all the media. Yeah.
Okay.
Marissa, can you hear us?
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Hey, Bubba, thank you for taking some time to a while, a couple hours, but congratulations on the victory. We'll get right into questions here for Bubba, and we will kick things off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Bubba, all the things you ever hear is, oh, he hasn't won. Now that you've won, what does it say about you as a race car driver, and what will it say about you as far as having a voice for change?
Yeah, you know, I was one of those people that was telling myself that I haven't won. And, you know, it's tough to kind of get out of that mentality. It's like, man, you just want to go out and compete and win. And it just so happened today. And so I know now it's, well, he's got to win because it rains. But, everybody knew it was going to rain. We were able to make a move there to keep us out front, and the caution felt the right time. So, just appreciate everybody that's been in my camp to help me stay focused on the things that matter and eliminate the BS that I have to deal with on a daily basis. Because it's the moments like this to where I can go back and thank them and appreciate them because we're here for a winner, got some credibility to my name now, but we'll just go out and you know, we know how the sport works. You know, we go back to work. Oh, everybody's back at work today, race on a Monday, but we go back to work tomorrow and get focused on the Roval.
Blaney said that, you know, what you've had to go through would hurt, the things you hear would hurt anybody, you know, that you're human. How have you dealt with that?
You know, some sleepless nights, talking to professionals to help me stay focused on the task at hand, you know, really listening to my family, Amanda being there, pushing me. You know, I go into some of these races and I just have a negative attitude, and, you know, she rips me an ass to, you know, get in shape and to show up with some, you know, positivity. And so I appreciate her. I hate that she couldn't be here. She had to fly back home for work last night. But it's just, you know, my family pushing me and knowing that, you know, as I'm being the realistic, sometimes pessimistic person, they hold the optimism for me and, you know, allow me to keep showing up back to the racetrack with a good mindset.
Have you talked to Amanda or your mom yet?
Yeah, I called them both as we were walking to Victory Lane.
All right, we're going to take our next question from JB Ricks. Go ahead, JB.
Hey, Bubba, JB Ricks here from Spectrum News One. Congratulations, and thank you for taking out this time. You have already been kind of catapulted into an ambassador role when it comes to bridging the gap with the African-American community and NASCAR. And now that you have your first win under your belt, how much do you think that will help bridge that gap even more and make this sport well known for the African American community?
You know, I'm just going to go out and keep doing what I got to do. I know that sounds like the typical athlete answer, but, you know, for me and people that know me in my camp, you know, I want to just go out and compete and win races and be here talking to you like this. So what allows me to do that is just focusing on the task at hand, which is the race at that time, let everything else settle in place. And that's how I continue to kind of go about it. Yeah, we'll talk about it post-race, but, you know, as it's leading up to it and in the moment, you know, I'm just going out to win races and put on the best show that I can to show, like, hey, you know, be a part of this sport. Come, or either be at the track or sit on the couch, have a party, watch it at home, whatever it may be. Just tune in because you never know what could happen. You can be enjoying moments like this.
Thank you and congratulations again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Bubba, just in the moment you got to talk with your mom, what did you share with her? What has it meant to have this journey with her and to be able to share this experience, even though not in person but from afar?
Yeah, there's a lot of tears, so it's kind of hard to understand her. But, you know, we're both crying on the phone, happy, and just excited. You know, she's the number one person that knows how hard I am on myself. Each and every weekend, each and every day. And she's always sending me positive encouragement, scriptures, and just always is holding that positive light. Even though she knows it could be, you know, no good outcome, she's always there for that support system. And love her so much for that. You know, she has started a new life for her. She moved to Atlanta, so she wasn't far away, but she wasn't here at the race. She lives in Atlanta now with her husband, George. So I know they had a lot of people watching back at home. So I just appreciate the support. It's been pretty cool just to see. I've yet to see my phone. I'm sure I got a lot more reaching out.
And certainly anything that you do is of a historic proportion. To do something that hadn't been done since Wendell Scott,
yep.
From the historical perspective, what is that like? What does that mean? What is that feeling like, along with your personal satisfaction, just accomplishing what you did for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm selfish, and I'm just like, finally, I'm a winner again. It's been 4 years, Michigan Truck Race, and I'm a winner, and I'm a winner at the cup level. So it's hell yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then you think about everything else that follows suit with the history being made, and you know, there's a lot of firsts today within our team, within our organization. And so this is really a huge team effort. I'm so proud of everybody for continuing to just stick with it. You know, it's been a lot of up and down races, a lot of frustration, a lot of shouting matches, but, you know, we always regroup and come back and rally for when the green flag falls on Sunday or whether it's a Monday like today. And we go out and compete and we put everything else aside and we know what we got to focus on. And, you know, we continue to build this organization up. I got Kurt coming over next year. You know, he's one of the drivers that came up went during the rain delay there, and you know, I appreciate him, his optimism, his wisdom. But we just got to keep going. I got to go out to the Roval, my best track, next week, but just go out and have some fun. You know, this win didn't put us in the playoffs or anything, but you know, there was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. I told Claire earlier, if I'm taken out, you know, walking out of this room, hey, I went out as a winner, so I'm good.
And one last thing is certainly the challenge you faced the last few.
There you have Bubba Wallace. Getting his first win since the Cup Series, apparently. So good luck to him, and let's see. Usually that might ignite your career. All right, this weekend, Bank of America Roval 400, Sunday, October 10th, 2 p.m. on regular NBC and Xfinity Series. Saturday the 9th at 3 on regular NBC, not the Sportsnet, the regular station. The Truck Series is off this weekend, so we will have a wrap-up of that and, of course, the NHRA at Texas. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Vinny B. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.